I'm going to show you a wee PowerPoint now if I'm going to switch it on and just to tell you of the work in Romania and Moldova and Ukraine. You likely seen this here before because I still use it always as my first picture here, mission trip to Romania, Moldova and Ukraine. And again, you can see here that the aims that we do, you can read them for yourself, just to see me going down through them. And we do the kindergartens, the schools, and rebuilding many times after floods and things like this here. Food parcels is a big thing that we do, you will see. Help pastors, outreach, assist churches, provide orphanages. The only thing I can tell you, the orphanages are going down and well down in number in Romania because Romania's in the EEC, in the Europe. And things have changed in Romania greatly in the last 27 years that I've been there and this year. But the gospel is still going forward. And sadly to say, I have to tell you the truth that it's harder today in Romania to present the gospel than it was 25 years ago. They were coming looking for it everywhere in the street because that generation has passed on. The new generation, if you think, you never think of this until I worked it out, has come up. And I suppose like here, young people likely and children in school think that really every day that you were born and when you come up to a certain age that you had a mobile phone and we had mobile phones all our lives and television and Facebook and computers, everything was here before. They don't realize that there was days past that we had nothing and you might have had to go likely looking for a phone or whatever. But this is the way it is. And this is what's changing. So, of course, it's harder to reach people today in these situations. This is Romania, and just to give you a wee idea, you can see the map there of Romania, and I go into Bucharest most of the time. I work in Bucharest, so if you keep your eye down there at the bottom, you will see Bucharest, and it'll tell you that's where the capital is. 3.5 million live in the capital. And then I go right up to a place at the very north, Siret, and if you see the little dots, that's the area that I cover. It's a big country, and it's a vast country. And then on to the north of it is Ukraine, and on to its right is a little place of Moldova, which is about 6 million, I suppose the size of Ireland. And that's to give you an idea. That is Ukraine. If you look right down onto the right, you'll see just there right down onto the right-hand side of the screen. That's where the war is at the minute with Russia and Mr. Putin. You're not hearing very much about it. I always call him, he's the snake. He doesn't say much, but he does a lot. He's in there, and he's bulldozing his way in right through the countries, right through the churches. He has tumult. He has bombed churches. He has took houses out. 30,000, they reckon, of people have lost their lives. It's not even mentioned the radio, very seldom, only I know. And 1.5 million have been displaced and had to run for their lives. I met some of the refugees, and the whole place is a disaster as he moves on. And I'll tell you what, the world, the governments, the EC does not give a hoot. And also, for your information, in Moldova, as you can see, because the EC border is online in Romania and Moldova and Ukraine. That's where your EC border comes. So Putin's in Ukraine, but also he's in Moldova. His 14th Army is in the middle of Moldova and has been this last likely 15, 18 years. And nobody can put them out. Moldova haven't the match for it. And they call this part that they're in the middle, they call it Little Russia. But he has the backing of his own country. He can come in through the back door of his own country and go forward into Russia. I was talking to ones there, both in Russia and both in Moldova, and they say it's simple. He's here to stay. And the reason is, if anything happens in the West, as we call it here, he's only... What would you say? Well, you know, the saying is down our way, he's only a stone throw. He's not very many miles to the EU. And he has his tanks all lined up and have been there. So he's in that part, and people outside don't know it. I am sure the West know, but they don't know or they don't care or whatever happens. But Russia is in Moldova and in Ukraine. This is myself in that one time I was out there at Christmas, but you'll see the man on the right is Mattel. He has worked with me down through the years. He's closer to me than a brother. We have worked all through the years. I've been in touch with him every 2 weeks. We have went to the houses. We have done street children. We have done churches. We have done tracks, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tracks. We have stayed nights in laybys. We stayed on roads. We traveled right around Romania. We go away for maybe 2 weeks and just lie in different houses if we get in and places wherever we sleep, all to give out these gospel tracts and works with children's work and that. And he came over to me on to visit me on September. We were taking back a fire engine, and we were taking it back here for a mission in Moldova. They wanted this fire engine for their own mission team. And sadly to say, he says he didn't feel well and landed, but he had seen the doctor before he left. And to cut a long story short for time, he says, well, I'll see how I get back with you. And he traveled to me with England. He didn't feel well. And that was in the first week of October, and he had to go into a hospital, and he's in today. And I ask you to pray for Mattel, for he has got cancer of the esophagus. And tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, he gets a big major operation for that. And we value your prayers. He's there since September. He walked out of his house. He walked, parked his van and his family, knowing that he'd be back in 2 weeks. And he hasn't darkened that door as yet today. He's still in England. He's staying there. We'll be in touch with him maybe every other day. And it's sad for me because it's like 50% of me cut away. It's hard for the work. It's hard for everything. And we're praying that God will touch him and heal him. For I need him with the help. And pray that Mattel tomorrow will know the hand of God upon his life. Great man of God. As this is in the summertime, they'll be mixed up here because I was out three times, so there'll be summertime ones, there'll be seasonal ones, and then you'll go to times when you'll have winter and different times when you have spring and that. This is a new Christian school they've started. Girls on one side, this is assembly in the morning, and they've started this in a place called Sechava. Now, I'm going to go a wee bit quick because I'm going to cut some of them out, so you just keep your eye. This is what we do. Doesn't matter where we go into a village, left, right, center, we will do each side of the street. We'll take some of Mattel's families with them because a lot of his families in mission work. Five of them are in Moldova in mission, one in Africa, and we will do the streets as we go along. No matter who we meet, we'll just come in contact with them, stop the horse and cart, stop the man in the van, stop the man in the car. We present them with a bag of rice, pasta, sugar, oil, and all the things that they would need, and sweets, of course, for the children. As soon as you bring sweets, you have children, and they'll ask you into their houses to come on and meet mommy and that. But the main thing is, everyone we come in contact with will receive a gospel tract on the way of salvation. We used Noel Grant's tract many years ago. Let him in. And I have some here in my bag out in the car today. Let him in. It has been widely used. And also, it's been widely used in Northern Ireland and both in the South, especially for Roman Catholics, because of the start. It is they're wild about it, and the Orthodox is more or less the same, and they like the front picture of it. Let them in, and they will read it, and this is where work. This is like the people we go to, people who have broken homes, people who have lost their mother very young in life again, and they live in an old house like this. Some with glass, some with plastic, some with clay floors. Other houses, you know, to tell the truth, are well done because there are people in the West working and they're sending loads of money back and they have good as houses as us and they're changing and they're building. But there's people who'll never come to the West. There's people who live away out in the countries, out in the villages, away in the mountains of Romania, and there'll never be no fire there. And it's these poor people that we reach out to, boys and girls like this, who will find themselves working on the farm or looking after sheep. Children along the road, very easy to stop with them, have them, and then go in and meet their family. Helping little children, no matter where they are. God loves them, no matter who they are, no matter what color their skin is, red or yellow, black or white. All are precious in His sight, and that's our aim, to reach boys and girls and men and women for the Master as they read the gospel tract along life's way. As for God, His ways are perfect. And I can tell you, sometimes we doubt it, and it's hard when my friend is lying in a hospital bed today. As for God, His ways are perfect. That's hard to take. But God is still sovereign. And God is still on the throne. And He'll work His path. It might be hard. It might be difficult. But I still trust Him. For He's the God of this world. Pray for these little ones. Orphanage children were left in a hospital outside a door. Pray for this family. I think I touched on before. They come to our heart. These two, this is the little girl that was left. She's growing up now. You can see her here. But I thought there's only three or four of them. There were six of them when I discovered them all together in different homes. And now they'd lived with Orthodox. They'd, two of the family or three have lived in Christian homes. The rest have lived in Orthodox homes. And they never seen each other until one day we went round and we traced them out for 2 years. We tried to trace them and through the village. And we got all the names and the places we were staying. And we hunted them out. And some of them weren't going to let them mix back to their own children. But when I was there with Michelle and they seen what we're doing and kind of convinced them, he says, okay, we'll let them come. And we brought them all together for the first time. Sisters meet for the first time. I can tell you when we brought her out of the van and the two of them sat down, tears rolled down their cheeks. And you can see, I took a wee photo there and the wee ones turned around to say to her, you crying for, what are you crying for? You know, they were separated for so long, but it's nice that we bring them together. And that's what Jesus would have done too. But the most important is as the girls come together and the rest of the family, that's them all there, and that's them together for the first time. And today, although they're still in Orthodox homes and Christian home, there's a girl there in this village, and she does like what we'd call a youth reach or a children's thing in the house or like a CF in her house. And she brings all the kids to the village in. And for the first time, these children are allowed to come on a Friday afternoon for 2 hours for a children's like outreach, suppose run like something like CF or whatever in the house. And they can meet each other now every Friday. And this is great. And we hope that God will break into their hearts and save them. And maybe someday we could get a home for them or bring them all together back as a family. Pray for them. Pray for them as they work, as we go around the houses and see boys and girls like this. And this is what it's all about, to seek the kingdom of God and his right. Outreach into new villages. We're always on the lookout for new villages and new towns. There's plenty of them in Romania. There's millions of them in Moldova and Ukraine. And in these days, in fact, might as well tell you, keep praying for Ukraine and them. Ukraine today, because of the bombing and that, the churches are packed, especially on the east where the war is. The new churches that they have on the borderline are what they call the peace line. Those who are like in kind of safe land are packed to the doors every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. If we were in Romania, Moldova, Ukraine, this was a church service today, it would start at 9 o'clock this morning, and they would sing in that there. Of course, the same as us. They would sing, they would pray, but it wouldn't finish till 11:15 or 12:30. So I have plenty of time. And there'd be no problem. Their prayer meetings on a Wednesday night start at 7 o'clock until 9. And just by the way, I always wondered, when they pray, they all will pray in the prayer meeting. They stand to pray and they sit to sing. So whenever the prayer meeting starts, you're standing for well over an hour. But this is the way they do it, and this is what they do to honor God. As we reach out to boys and girls and men and women like this across these lands, I'm just going to shoot through them because you can keep your eye and I'll do a bit of talking. You can see as we go into villages in Romania and on through into gypsy villages, they're no different. There's plenty of Roma gypsies in there, and they have even Roman churches. The gypsies have started churches. They're very, very musical, and they're very, very, some gypsies are excellent speakers, and they do evangelism work and outreach, and this is where we support them too as we go. Also in Moldova, it's very, very poor. You have a lot of houses with asbestos on most of the roofs, and they just live in little hens. They have no. If you have to see a doctor, or today in any of these countries in Romania, especially in Moldova, Ukraine, if you want to see a doctor, you put on an appointment. They have no waiting queues at the hospitals we have. They have no big queues at doctor surgery because, remember, against our standard, you'll have to pay 30 euros, and that's a lot of money to see your doctor. Then if he sends you for a test, you'll have to pay another 30 euros. And if you have to go then for tablets or medicine or whatever you want to call it, you'll have to pay another 30. So you could earn, you'll be looking for 100 euro, and some of them only earn over 100 euro with their wages in a month. So you can see what their price is and why there's no queues at the hospital or anything like that. They've meeting people like this along the roads in Romania, Moldova, and Ukraine. This is our desire, the boys and girls, no matter where they are. The houses, doesn't matter to me, tin roofs, plastic, and the wonders. But what matters is their soul and their eternal, their destiny in these days. When you stop in a village or when you're moving from one village to another, and some you see children are children, they always like sweets. We have to take loads of sweets. even in the Sunday schools or wherever, and if they hear, oh, we have sweets here, we have sweets there, and some has missed out, where are they away? Away to the next village. They will run like anything to the next village after us, and up the road they come, as hard as they go, for a little sweet. But praise God, they will get more than a sweet. Theirs to me is the shepherds. There's hundreds and hundreds of shepherds out in the mountains. Lonely old job. They lie all day. They bring the sheep into a pen at night. Now, the shepherd doesn't own all the sheep. Everybody here would have two or three sheep, and you'd have one shepherd, and you pay him something to keep look after your sheep. Usually right through from the end of the winter, right through again to the beginning of the winter. He looks after your sheep, and you pay him. But it's a lonely life. He either has a wooden hut or an old caravan. And he looks after the sheep and brings them here at night. He put them on and he'll check their feet and he'll check all about them and look after their needs and see what they need. And then he closes the gate as he puts the sheep in and he stays at the gate. And that's him there for the night. And he stays there all the time and they see him every day. And then you'll see in the morning, like a sunny morning again, he'll bring them down the mountain and he'll lead them down into the lovely rivers at the bottom to get refreshment and water. And then he just moves them up. And the interesting thing about the sheep is, shepherds will pass shepherds, but the sheep will not mix. The sheep will follow the shepherd of their own flock. And that's interesting. You could take a subject net alone. The sheep will know the shepherd's voice, and they will not astray. And they know the master. They will follow him straight through, and they will keep on. Many of these shepherds. And the way I reach out to these shepherds is, they have all the time in the world to read a gospel tract. I tell you one story. The year before last, me and Mitchell was on a road to Yesh. And as we traveled along the road, just by way of announcement, that's Mitchell's sons who work for CMI Mission. We were walking along the road, and this man was crossing the road with sheep, so we had to stop. I got the bags. We have the bags all made up in the back of the van. I got the bags, jumped out, run over, and reached the man in the bag and gave him the wee gospel tract as he went his sheep across. And then we were, contact number always in the back of the tract, whether in Romania or whatever country you're in. The man phoned Cornell and says, hello. He says, one of your men, this was a month later, one of your men contacted me and gave me a lovely bag of stuff and food and stuff and this little tract. And when I was in with the sheep at night, I have read and read and read in this here. And he says, I want to tell you that a couple of weeks ago, I went to a little church service, little Baptist church. And he says, I went in and I showed them the book. And I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. Next Sunday, I get baptized, because that's what they do, immersion. And we have heard that over and over. Cornell, to start, was getting 50 calls. He's telling us to slow down. 50 calls every day from people all over these countries as we go. This is us crossing the Romanian border into, this one is into Moldova. And so right across. And here they are in their morning service in the church there. You'll see them. Women all sit on the left, and the men all sit on the right. And this is where the service is in these countries. There's the bags. They're all made up, ready to go. As we go along the road, we just hand them out and meet people. It's a very simple ministry, but it's a good one. This fire engine, I'll tell you the wee story quick. I'll leave out some of it. This fire engine came up on the internet one time. Because, well, I was a fireman for 32 years in Londonderry during all the troubles and that. And I still take fire engines to Moldova because this mission uses them for protecting their own places. And they bought a couple for the government there. And it was the means of witnessing to the fire brigade and the police and the children's work. And through it, they have also this mission, CMI, we work with them too. They do a children's outreach. Now, likely churches here, if you're doing a children's outreach in the summertime, you'd get your team together and you'd say, right, we'll take a week's outreach or whatever, 2 weeks. But you likely maybe start at maybe, I don't know, maybe 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. And this mission team, and a lot of them in Romania and Moldova and Ukraine, the children will start at, they send the buses out at 9 o'clock in the morning. It will start about 10 o'clock. So all the children have been, maybe about 200 of them at 10 o'clock. They will stay at a program all day. They'll be playing basketball, volleyball, swimming. Then they'll do memory verses, and then they'll do Bible stories, and they'll go on to this here, and then they'll play, and they'll do different things again. And this will keep going on to 5 o'clock, and then they go home. And then they'll bring them the next day again, and they bring the same children for 6 days. So one day it could be from your village, town here, wherever this is. Next day it could be from an orphanage. We'll bring them all from an orphanage. Next day we'll bring them from street children. Next week we'll bring them from somewhere else. They change them around. And they do that in June for 7 or 8 weeks right through June, July, and to the end of August. And they bring, I can tell you, in the Christmas there, they put 2,000, over 2,500 children through their program. And that's what their aim is. They bring them for a week, speak to them, send them back, and then they bring it all week. And it's an outreach to children and also for the mothers and fathers. This fire engine I had seen on the internet I was telling you about, and I wanted it for them because they were looking for one. And I tried to get in contact with the boys, and everything I'd done, I could not get this contact with a man with this fire engine. And I gave up. For I wanted it for a fire station in the north of Moldova, and the place is called Orhei. So I was in Moldova in the north, up to see the Sunday school and to help with outreach there for young children and that. When young boy says to me, why don't you come around the fire engine? I said, I'm not going around there. And I might as well tell you the truth. The reason I didn't want to go is they had asked me about this fire engine. And I have tried, and I told them I tried, and I can't get it. And they're going to ask me the same thing again, because if I walked in, they're going to say, well, Wills, are there any? Well, they're not. I have tried again. But he says, he opened the doors, and he says, look at this. I looked at it, and I says, what? I says, where did you get that? He says, it's South England. I says, tell me this. Did you get that in Newquay? Yes. I says, well, you'll not believe this. I says, I have tried to get this fire engine in Newquay, and it's the firemen down there who do it all over the world. I says, I tried to get this fire engine to buy it of them, to take to Moldova to give to use. And I says, there, the Lord has brought it from England, no cost to me, and put it in for you and all. And you know what they're getting? The fire service in the south of England are looking after it free of charge for 5 years. The Lord was there good to me. There, I had nothing to do with it, and the fire engine was there. And that's how it worked. We pray the Lord bless us as people goes out like this here, boys and girls, to read the gospel. A lot of these people, we never meet again. Never. The majority of them, 90%, that we meet every day, every year we are out, or every week, or whenever time we're out, and all the times of the season, 90, 95%, we will never see this side of eternity. Lord, let it be a lesson one time in a little village in Ukraine. I was seeing this woman up, and I was talking to her, and we didn't know what to do in this family. They were, all the children were out and going up and down the field, and they're not going to school. They were waiting, I suppose, thin interments, what we called, and things like this here. And I says, why have you not a tractor? Oh, the tractor's broke. Tell you, it's a crank the shaft on the driver and wheel was broke. And I says, how much of that? £70. Oh, we'll never be able to buy it. And I says, well, I'll have to see about it. And I thought about it. And I was going along the road and I prayed. And the Lord says to me, go back and buy that shaft. And I went back and I got the shaft and put it on. Do you know what was the means of that family going to school? But it was also the means of that Christian family helping the rest of the people in the village. And you know this, I've never been back in that village since. And if I had never done it that day, I would never have been God. And the Lord has spoke to me in Ukraine exactly the same way over a story of a woman with hands. If I never would have done it, because you only pass this way but once. You might meet this person but once. Never see them again this side of eternity. It's your opportunity. Take it. The Holy Spirit's work will do his work. Speak to them and get them saved, or they could be lost for all eternity. Met the health minister of Moldova, and he wanted me to do work with over 200 kids in poor homes and poor conditions. And I told him, yes, but one policy we have. And he says, what's that? I says, we are Christians, and we give them out with the help that we give them, or whatever we help them, there's hospital fees for doctors or blood. One thing that we do, we'll have to give them a gospel tract. He says, it's no problem. Off you go. Do whatever you want. This lady here, sitting in a little clay house, you can see her there with a blanket over. When I went in, she had the blanket over her legs, and she sits there all day, and if you look behind her, there's a wee pillow, and she just puts herself back, and she just lies there all night, and she just gets up again, and that's all she does. She can't move. She'd been in a hospital here, but she can't afford to go, and she's lying there. Her two legs are pure black from her knees down, pure black, and she's little couple of little pills she takes, and that's it, and the sweater's run off, it's 42 degrees. And I went and bought the fan, as you can see there, the fan, and they were really pleased and bring her some fruit and that, and we're left at gospel track. You know, they have nothing of this world's goods, but they never more. This girl here was so delighted to see us. No food for 3 days. People like this, gospel outreach, and their families like this. Woman 92, never heard the gospel. Pray that God, through the tracks, will reach them. Men like us along the road, as we get into flood areas, floods, disasters, different things across Romania and Moldova. Every Home Crusade, do a great work for me. 150,000 let them on tracks for Romania and Moldova. 100,000 for Ukraine, 65 for Bulgaria as we take them out. Then when I was out in the winter time there last year, you meet many things along the road and as we work among the people in the villages and around that area. Again, just going to flash there right through to the more or less to the end to let you see some of the things that we do with the boys and girls and the children. No matter how poor they are, whether they're Roma, Gypsies, wherever they are, we love them in the Lord's name. And God takes us into these villages to proclaim the gospel as we travel in vans and help them whatever they need. Can you help us? That's all they say. They might have no food and we have everything. They might have no heat. You might have to buy them wood. You might have to buy them a bottle of gas. And there they are as the gospel tracks go out along this road. We pray that as we do, children from an orphanage, we're taking them home for a few days. It must have been around about Christmas time as we traveled. They were sick along the road for the long day. They traveled all night by train. And here they're going back home to see likely a parent or something or stay with her granny or granda, and then they'll go back to the orphanage for another year. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Shepherds along the road. This place here is a disaster. Only caught it last year. Belarusia, it's very, very poor village. They have no water, they have no electric, they have no nothing. And we're reaching out until it with the gospel. And we said we'll go back to see people like this here. Thank you again for having me. I'm just going to go to the last one as we go here. Time is flying. I could say a lot more on these things, but time is a bit us. And I'm just going to call it like that there. Is that we reach out to boys and you cast your burdens on the Lord. And he shall sustain you. May the Lord bless us and keep us in these days. We'll just close our service by a word of prayer because of time. And we'll not sing anymore because time has bitten us. The clock is flying. And thank yous again for having me and for listening. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, our hearts again goes out to the part of the world in Romania, Moldova and Ukraine and many other eastern parts of the world and also to Syria and Africa and all parts, Lord, where your people are and those who are poor. You said, Lord, in your word that the poor will always be among us, and Father, it's our desire to reach out to poor and needy people who have little of this world's goods, but pray, Lord, that they'll be rich in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that many even today will come to accept thee as their own and personal Savior. Pray for the churches. Pray for the outreaches. Pray for all across the world today, even in Ireland, as your word goes forth, Lord, today, that many will trust thee as their own personal Savior. Pray, Lord, again for this church and for the congregation. We pray for every home here represented. Pray, Lord, that you'll take us to our homes in safety. And Lord, again, you'll bless us and undertake. We thank you for all the good things that you had provided for us in this land. We have want and we have need of nothing. And Father, we return you thanks. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to him we give all the praise, the honor, and glory in your precious and peerless name. Amen.